We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Don't tell me. We're about to go over a huge waterfall.
Yep.
Sharp rocks at the bottom?
Most likely.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Bring it on.
On WGR.
Booyah!
Sports Radio 550.
I'm pretty much going to want most of this show to just be, did you see my tweets from last night? I got fired up over a couple of different things.
I saw your tweets from a couple of nights ago.
There's enough content on a daily basis on Joe's Twitter to do a show about.
Oh, yeah. Lou, by the way, is wearing a yellow Sabres third jersey from the
I feel like you're pointing out my wardrobe to start the show every time I'm on.
Every time it's interesting. I mean, stop coming in with interesting clothing on and I will stop bringing it up.
I don't know where this jersey came from.
That's actually
my jersey. Okay, that's probably why.
Now, see,
why you spent money on this jersey is beyond me.
Well, okay. Well, let me explain. So, Tottenham's losing.
Siblings your soccer will know content this. For today.
That's your soccer second for the day. siblings will know this. That back in the day, your sibling would steal your clothing once in a while.
I swear I didn't steal this.
I'm not disputing it. I'm probably wearing the hood. I think this hoodie I'm wearing right now is our youngest brother Sam's.
Probably.
Sam's hoodie. But Lou is wearing a Ryan Miller yellow third jersey from back in the day. That is mine. But I got it, like, super cheap. Like, I bought it for, like, $20.
I mean, even bad jerseys eventually over time are fun to wear. Like, they're funny. Like, I think they're good. Even, like, players. Like, you can buy a jersey of a player that's terrible. But then, like, 5 years later, like, it's kind of funny to own some players, right?
Like, if you walked around right now in a Ville Leino jersey,
yeah,
like,
I think that's
people
kind
would laugh at it. Like,
I think you maybe need some more time with Leino.
I would not have the guts to wear that.
Like CJ Spiller might be funny at this point.
Yeah, but he was good.
Come on.
At least 1 year he was all good. Right, Leno was never
who's
good.
Who's a funny Bills or Sabres jersey that's just terrible? Like Ville Leino's a good one. Some of the tank heroes, maybe.
Andy Delmore is definitely one.
Zenon Konopka, that's a good one. But nobody owned that yeah.
You're talking probably about like a star player.
Or you thought Terrell Owens maybe at this point. It's kind of funny.
No, but even that, like that's kind of a novelty. Like he was good though too, like in that 1 year. Like 900 yards, 8 touchdowns. Fine.
Trent Edwards?
What do you want out of 35-year-old T.O.?
Trent Edwards?
Well, the quarterbacks are the quarterbacks. Yeah, the quarterbacks are. Nobody's walking around in Trent Edwards jersey.
A lot of people owned Brian Mormon jerseys and Ryan Lindell's.
Yes.
Those are
not
around.
Lindell, Mormon.
I saw some Lindell's too in the Navy.
Plenty more Mormons. Than Lindell's. He was a fan favorite.
It's the only city I've seen where punter jerseys are popular.
He was the best athlete on the team for years.
He had a 99 overall speed in Madden for a couple of years.
I know. I used to use him in Madden for that exact reason. The Morcat. I invented an offense in Madden called the Morcat that was run by Brian Mormon because he was incredibly fast. Sports Talk Saturday. Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase, Derek Kramer here on WGR. A lot of Sabres today. A lot of Bills today. Bills and Dolphins. We'll get into the Sabres with Matt Beauvais from WKBW in just under a half hour. I do want to start today's show off, though. But like I said, did you see my one tweet from last night?
I did not.
Okay, so good. Because I want your live reaction to this. The Bills and the Eagles play next week. You're a huge Eagles guy, also Bills, but obviously Bills and the Eagles. That's next week's matchup. It's a good matchup. It is. We'll see what happens on Sunday Night Football, but even if they lose, like Bills-Eagles is a good matchup.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I looked up the spread for that game. It's out. There's an early line.
For Eagles-Bills?
For Eagles-Bills that you can bet on. Now, this is before. It'll obviously change depending on what happens Sunday. Like, if the Bills beat Miami 40-0 and the Eagles lose, or if the Eagles win, or if the Bills lose, like it can definitely change. But what do you think that line is for next week, Bills and Eagles?
Bills by 2?
Bills by 1.
Yeah.
They are favored at home against Carson Wentz and the Eagles. That's pretty impressive so far this year.
It is pretty impressive.
But that's not the point. Do you know what the prime time schedule is next year? Next week? Do you know what the prime time NFL schedule is next week?
I assume we get Steelers and Giants.
Worse.
Because I feel like I've had to watch the Steelers like 3 times already this year in primetime football.
Let me Before I even give you the teams, let me do it this way. I'm going to give you the quarterbacks that play next week, or the projected quarterbacks for next week on primetime NFL football. Thursday night, Kirk Cousins versus Case Keenum.
Yikes. Spider-Man gift game. Ugh.
Vikings.
Right? The Spider-Man gift game.
Vikings-Redskins. Although at least the Vikings are a good team. The Redskins are just a tire fire.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that's going to be a blowout.
Minnesota's
probably
not very entertaining to watch.
Right, so it's going to be a blowout, and it's not going to be entertaining.
You'll have fantasy implications. I guess there is your stock
no,
in
no,
that
no,
one.
No, get fantasy implications out of here. We'll talk later. Kirk Cousins versus Case Keenum.
Yeah,
get out of
brutal.
Here. Sunday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, nice. Versus Matt Moore.
Oh, great. That's right.
Matt Moore is going to play Sunday Night Football. It's probably going to be a blowout. Because think about this for the Chiefs.
I don't know.
The Chiefs are maybe the last team in the league that is built to survive their quarterback being injured.
No,
they don't
I think
have...
they're one of the top ones. I don't think
no.
you're getting, giving it. I've seen Andy Reid do some incredible things with the likes of A.J. Feely, Kevin Cobb,
sure.
and they didn't have nearly the talent this Chiefs offense has.
Sure, but that Chiefs defense cannot get off the field, and their running game has not been existent this year.
I don't think you're giving Reid enough credit
no, this,
here.
I'll give Reid credit, but I just...
I mean, I don't think it's going to be entertaining to watch. Matt Moore's not somebody you're
Moore's still
tuning
have
in
to make,
for.
Moore's still going to have to make the passes. And he will not have the supporting staff of a really good running game or a good defense that can get off the field easily.
Still has Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce,
they're going
Andy
to
Reid.
Get smoked by Green Bay.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be a fun
right.
game to watch.
I smell a Packers,
another bet?
Chiefs bet coming.
I already
along,
lost
along
a bet
today.
With the Mariota one from last week.
You did. That was
so
the
that
quickest I've
over.
Ever seen anyone lose a bet. Mariota is just out.
He got benched.
We spent an hour arguing Minshew versus Mariota, and Mariota
later,
was benched like in
against,
48 hours.
Against Denver.
Exactly. So anyways, Rodgers versus Matt Moore. At the very least, nobody wants to really watch Matt Moore
right,
play on
correct.
Sunday Night Football.
That's fair.
Monday Night Football. Holy cow. With Monday Night Football next week. Screw flexing rules. Get this game out of here. Mason Rudolph versus Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Wait, are we sure it's Mason Rudolph?
Or Duck Hodges. Does it matter? It's the Steelers and the Dolphins on Monday Night Football.
When was that
are
ever
you
supposed,
kidding me?
When was that even supposed to be good? Even at the beginning of the season,
right.
that wouldn't have been a game I chose. Monday Ugh. Night Football this year has been brutal. I think there's been, last week's game was good, but the refs ripped
yeah,
that one away,
but
too.
But the matchup
so,
was good.
Yeah, even that one was just mind-numbing to watch because of the refs. Monday night, and just having to listen to Booger McFarland for 3.5 hours, I can't do it.
And then imagine him try to analyze the tanking Dolphins.
That's going to be fun.
Bills and Eagles. I know there are rules for flexing, but NFL, come on here. That game is a million times better than any of those three, especially that Monday night game. And I think you can only flex out a Sunday night game. And maybe they do flex out Chiefs and Packers.
But these are their own rules, though. Like, there are rules, but
so
they set
you're
them.
Saying that they should be able to change them at any point,
yes,
too?
Yes, they're the ones that created
yeah,
it. It's
I mean,
not like there's a separate
their own
entity.
Proprietary rules.
Yeah,
right.
It's not a separate entity that's creating these guidelines for them. It's them. They can do it if they want. Please don't expose us to that Monday night game.
I think that they need 5 to 10 days before that Sunday night game to flex it out. They can only flex out the Sunday night game.
Well, they
so,
have plenty of time to see the Steelers and Dolphins. They've had ample
well, that
time. Game's, they've had weeks.
That game should absolutely be flexed out, but they can't. So that's locked in unless they change the rules.
Should have flexed it out a couple weeks ago.
Would you flex out Chiefs and Packers for Bills and Eagles? Do you think NBC would want that?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
Why?
I think the Chiefs, even without Patrick Mahomes, I think NBC would still see them as more of a hot ticket than the Bills.
Oh.
I'm not saying it's warranted. I think so.
Matt Moore?
With Aaron Rodgers,
come
too.
On.
Yeah, I think there's enough skill there still in Kansas City. They're 5-2. Yeah, I still think they would view Kansas City as a team they'd rather have.
Oh, I'm disgusted by that matchup. I really think it's going to be a slaughter. Like, I think all three of those games are going to be blowouts. And I don't. You really think the Chiefs are going to put up a fight?
I think so. Trust me. I have watched a lot of Andy Reid games with quarterbacks not nearly at the level of Patrick Mahomes, and he has done some incredible things. Again, you look at A.J. Feely, Kevin Cobb, everybody remembers him in Buffalo as the guy that slipped on the mat.
Well, not everybody remembers.
And
kick-started
the E.J. Well, yeah, he probably doesn't remember that he was in Buffalo. But Andy Reid has gotten to the playoffs, and he's done some – I mean, Jeff Garcia, in 2006, he got to the second round, nearly to the NFC Championship game with Jeff Garcia coming off the streets. So Matt Moore has not played in a long time, but I think that actually might be a game. I mean, it's not something I'm, like, excited for. I don't want to watch Matt Moore. Mahomes and Rodgers would be awesome. I mean, it's Rodgers and Rodgers 2.0, really, but – Yeah, I don't know. I think that's actually – I think Kansas City's going to keep it close. Their defense has been disappointing. They have talent. I mean, the Honey Badger, Frank Clark is great up front.
Last week was their first, like, really good game, though, and they played
Jones
Joe Flacco.
In the middle is one of the – yeah, so –
yeah.
Yeah, they've been disappointing for sure. I mean,
that slate next week, those quarterbacks, like, that's really what I'm looking at. Like, it's just so – it's so brutal. Thursday night, too, we even mentioned that.
The play-action game,
Thursday
too,
night.
Is Cousins. What that's going to be called. Keenum and Cousins?
Keenum and Cousins.
Do the Vikings regret not keeping Keenum over Cousins? They probably do. Wouldn't have to pay him nearly as much as they're paying Cousins right now.
Do they regret that?
I think what they regret more is not keeping Teddy Bridgewater.
No, they don't regret that.
4-0 with the Saints, and he's getting better every week.
Great.
And he would have made zero money.
I would be 4-0 with the Saints.
He would have made zero money. Instead, they're paying Kirk Cousins $84 million guaranteed to be less of what Case Keenum was.
They're all the same to me. They're just... But the
problem is they're paying $184 million
sure. So
guaranteed.
That would be the one. To me, drafting a guy. You draft a guy.
You don't draft a guy, though, after making the NFC Championship, though. That's
why not?
I get the logic of, like, they didn't have a quarterback to put them over the top. That was really the difference. The problem is they chose the guy that had four wins against teams over 500.
I'm just not a fan of any of those quarterbacks, any of them.
I'm a fan of Bridgewater. I think, and they should have known of all. I mean, they were concerned about the health. They should have known of any team where he was. And you look at now, the Saints are reaping the benefits. I'm not saying Teddy Bridgewater is a top tier quarterback that would have won you a Super Bowl, but my God, I would be regretting that now. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but looking at it from right now in this perspective, it's not looking great.
The amount of quarterbacks that have now gone down with injury. It's getting a little ridiculous in the NFL. Like,
it's kind of like 2017, honestly.
Yeah.
It happened two years ago, too.
More than that, even, I think. Half the league starters, it feels like, have gone out. Or you've had maybe 15, 16 quarterback
And they're all big
changes.
Names. It's not like Jimmy G and, you know, Cousins. It's
Mahomes is out. And Breeze and Roethlisberger. Yeah.
Cam Newton.
Like, yeah, Andrew Luck retires. Like, these are huge names that are star quarterbacks in the league that are not playing. And I look at the Bills injury report for yesterday, for the game, and this is maybe not a very talked about point. Part of the reason that they're 4-1 and that they've had the success that they've had is they have been healthy. They might be missing nobody against the Dolphins. Nobody. I'm not even talking just quarterback. I'm talking on the entire roster. There are three questionable players, Matt Milano, Corey Thompson, and Taron Johnson, but I think everyone expects Taron Johnson to play. He was full all week in practice. I don't know why he wouldn't. It was weird that he was questionable in the first place. So if Milano, Thompson maybe won't play, but if he does or if he doesn't, who cares? Backup anyway. They really have no injuries to speak of at all. And their quarterback has played every game. Like, honestly, in the AFC right now, if your quarterback plays every game, you're right in it. For the most part, the Raiders right now, the one thing they've had going for them maybe is that Derek Carr has been healthy. Like, I don't like that team at all, but they're 3-2. So, to me, I think that right now, the way the AFC continues to churn these quarterbacks in and out with injuries, now we've got the Chiefs, and you seem to think that they're going to still kind of maintain some level of good while Mahomes is out. He's probably going to be out for 3-4 games, so maybe a month here.
Mm-hmm. And they're 5-2.
So
they can split those games?
I think their schedule coming up. I'm not really thinking too much about the Chiefs in terms of the Bills. I am a little bit. Because the thing is, for me, I don't see who would over... Even if they just... Say they lose every game with Matt Moore. Let's just say that happens. That's not completely out of the realm of
possibility. Do we think the Raiders are still winning that division? I mean, like, is that...
Exactly, that's the point.
Yeah.
Who wins that division?
It's
I would have told
Chiefs.
You the Chargers, but they can't do anything right now.
They just
cannot
lost to
win
Hodges.
The football. They lost to Duck Hodges. They lost to a guy named Duck.
Wait, his first name's Duck?
Well, that's what they call him.
Oh.
Duck Hodges, like his nickname. So they go Packers, Vikings, Titans. I don't really know what the Titans are yet with Tannehill.
I think we do know what they are. What do you mean you don't know what they are with Tannehill?
Well, because I think they'll get a certain – I think they're going to get better quarterback play, but I don't know how much better.
I don't know. Good luck.
They're going to get better they're going to get better quarterback play, at least a little bit. Then they play the Chargers on the road, which really will be a home game, and then the Raiders and then the Patriots. So that's their next six games. So I can't see them – being bad enough with Mahomes being out to think that they are suddenly in trouble for the AFC West. I think that I'm not really thinking about any teams in the AFC West for the Bills right now. Still, there's a small part of me that is worried the Chargers are capable of going on a run.
We said
but
that
they can't
yeah, but
stay healthy.
Now they're what, 2-4?
But they've done it before.
Yeah,
two years ago, actually, I think 2017, the year that they smoked Peterman and the Bills, and they tied the Bills, and the Bills made the playoffs over them. And I always remember this report that there was a Chargers player, and maybe it was Eric Weddle, that was just stewing outside the locker room by himself, still in full equipment, and he was just muttering to himself, "The Bills, the Bills, we beat them by 80. The Bills, they made it." And that was that team. I remember that Chargers team. They got up to a super slow start, and they went on a run.
But now they're going to be like three games back. I mean, that's the thing this time around.
I know. But that I'm finding a problem still. Finding a team that can even be capable of the type of run that could catch the Bills. I just don't see it in the Raiders. Like, what do you think of the Raiders? Because I think we've all kind of dismissed them, even though they are 3-2. I'm ready to do that. I don't think they're good at all. I don't think that their defense is that good. I don't think Derek Carr is good. I think their running game has been overachieving. I think mostly because of their offensive line. I do like Josh Jacobs is better than I thought he was so far. And they have nothing at wide receiver. They had to trade for Zay Jones, and he's going to start for them. Like, holy cow. He's got one of the worst catch percentages in NFL history.
I think it's fun the way they're winning because they are the Raiders and they don't really have a lot of talent. So it's kind of like, look at those gritty Oakland Raiders getting to 3-2. I don't think it's very sustainable. I would bet still the Chargers finish ahead of Oakland. I think from a Bills perspective, you should be more thinking about. I don't think you should be looking behind you now. I think more so, and it stinks that the Patriots are in this division because Patrick Mahomes injury now does. And if it was an even longer-term injury, like if Mahomes is out for the year, then you're thinking, okay, big picture, not even like a bye week. Like if the Patriots weren't in it, you'd be thinking, awesome, now Kansas City, I might be able to grab that 1 or 2 seed here with Patrick Mahomes out for maybe a month and a half. Now, with the Patriots still, it's hard to get there. But even now,
5 is the best you can get if the Patriots win the division.
But even at just grabbing 5, if Mahomes was out for the year, you got the deadline coming up. To me, the only team in your way, maybe from representing the AFC, and I know that's getting ahead of ourselves after just 5-6 weeks of the season, but you look at it, like you said, you're trying to find a team that's going to push the Bills for a spot. I would be trying, if Mahomes was out longer, and again, he's not, but if he was out longer, I'd be trying to find a team other than New England that can push me to get to the Super Bowl.
Right, maybe Baltimore, but I'm still not. The jury for me is still out on Baltimore.
And they've been as inconsistent as a lot of teams.
Exactly.
So I think they're going to get better, and they just added Marcus Peters in that secondary, which is one of the best in the league.
Yeah, I'm still like they have the one tough game.
I think
Baltimore
they're underachieving.
They lost them losing to Cleveland like they did. Really is it's something to me. And their next couple games, like if they can win me over in the next two games, they go to Seattle and then they host New England. If they can even split and they can look really good in those two games, then Baltimore I think is like. To me, the second if they look really good in those two games, I would put them ahead of the Bills as the second best team in the AFC
while
Mahomes is out. But I'm not sold that they're going to do that. So
talk about games that should be on primetime. Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson. That's exciting.
That's this week, right?
If you're a mobile quarterback lover, there it is.
Well, next week is not actually Ravens-Patriots. The Ravens have a bye week, and then it's Ravens-Patriots. So that wouldn't have been a game they could have put on. That is a Sunday Night Football game in 2 weeks. It's good. I think right now with Mahomes out, you can make the case the Bills are the second best team in the AFC. At this very moment.
Yes, for the next month.
You can certainly make the case. There are a couple teams that I'm worried about, but again, the overall point here for the Bills season is there's not enough of these teams.
It doesn't even matter what you think of the Bills.
Right.
Like, as a serious contender, it doesn't matter because you look at everybody else and there's no one that's clearly ahead of them outside of New England. Well, when Mahomes comes back, Kansas City, but right now, yeah, it's just Brady that's ahead of them.
I think right now I would pick them to lose on the road to the AFC South winner, whether it be the Colts or the Texans.
Oh, yeah, maybe Houston. I might put Houston.
But they're probably going to win their division at this rate. So that would be tough. And then that AFC North team, like I said, I'm not sold on Baltimore. And if it's Cleveland, if they come back here, I would right now pick the Bills to do that, to beat them on the road. I think they're going to be they might be favored in a couple weeks against them on the road. So
Yeah, I still think it's Baltimore that's the right now. Like, yeah. I would still have them ahead of Buffalo, but it's really hard to make a definitive, clear-cut case for anyone other than New England right now being ahead of Buffalo in their circumstance.
This has been 2 weeks we've been talking big picture with the Bills because, one, we had the bye week last week, and this almost feels like another bye week. I just can't even get myself to think about
a situation where
Miami could win. I don't think he has enough around him at all. No, I don't think. I know he doesn't have enough around him. Who is he throwing to?
Devontae Parker, of course. Ugh. Former first-round pick.
Terrible. Just come
Albert
on.
Albert Wilson?
The guy's only on the team still because they're tanking.
Is Kenyon Drake still there? Have they not freed him yet from the shackles?
Sounds like they're getting really close to trading him.
Please, for fantasy's sake, Mark get that Walton, man out of there.
Mark Walton's the running back who's playing a lot for them now. Passing downs. He's former Bengal, I think.
That's right.
So I just can't even work myself up to thinking. This game to me is not even that interesting. It's kind of like the New England game in reverse. In the Patriots game, it felt like the Bills could do no wrong because it was New England. In this game, I kind of feel like the Bills can do no right. Like, I don't think anyone's opinion would change on the Bills. Your opinion shouldn't change on the Bills going on what happens against this Dolphins team.
Not even if Allen just smacks them. Because even the bad teams they play this year, Allen hasn't just dismantled the defense.
No, not even. Like, if they won this game 35-3, like, I'm going to think the exact same way about this Bills team. This Dolphins team
is terrible. I want to see Allen destroy them then, though.
No,
that's
of course,
the thing.
I don't want to see
170 yards, a touchdown, and a rushing touchdown. I want to see 300, three. I mean, where is that? I want to see that blow-up game. It should be this week. I mean, Miami's traded away Minka Fitzpatrick. They traded away Laremy Tunsil. They should destroy this team.
But what is that going to do, really, for Allen's reputation and for the Bills? If Allen throws for 400 yards, what is everyone going to say? Oh, it's Miami, of course.
Yeah, I know, but you'd like to see him be able to destroy those teams. And
sure.
He really, he didn't do that against the Giants or, you know, the Jets.
I don't think he's going to have to, though.
I know
I'm not sure he's
going to
attempt to pass past the first quarter.
You'd
want to
see, if they are one of the best teams in the AFC, you know, again, a lot of it's going to ride on how good Josh Allen can be. And I just would like to see him dismantle a team.
I get that.
Through the air. Like, I want to see him smack them.
But I just don't know how meaningful it will be against Miami. I want to see them doing it against a real team. This is not a real team. This is basically a college football team at this point. That three quarters of their roster maybe shouldn't be in the league. It's like the Tank Sabres. They had a whole team of players that, like, everyone was like, oh, I feel bad for the players.
They
like,
are very Sabres-esque.
Like, why do you feel bad for I hated that argument, by the way, during the Sabres tank. Everyone's like, oh, I feel bad for the players. Everyone's rooting against them. Like, why do you feel bad for them? These guys would not be getting an NHL chance unless this team was tanking. Zach Delpy is getting an NHL shot.
You didn't feel bad for Matt
tanking.
D'Agostini?
No.
No?
And he was before, I think, that tank team.
Yeah, that was the Reinhardt year,
year.
Right. Was that team tanking? I don't think so.
No, they were just terrible. The Dolphins are
clearly tanking.
Not, like, they might be the worst team in NFL history. They are on pace to smash the all-time record for point differential.
Do you think they win a game this year?
No. Who do they beat?
I mean, last week was
the game. They would have beat Washington.
Yeah, it
would
have been Washington, right?
Was that was at home for them too? That was in Miami.
It was
Cincinnati.
I think the Bengals are way more talented, and that's saying something.
I know, but they find ridiculous ways to lose. If someone
leave that the door open.
Yeah,
for
maybe
that
Fitz. I can see Fitz taking Cincy down.
That's Week 16. I wonder if Ryan Finley is playing quarterback for them by then.
Yeah, like Cincinnati's that team that would pull that kind of thing off. So I really think that it could be the Bengals, if anyone, for the Miami Dolphins to actually beat. Like
maybe
the Bengals
maybe
might
the Steelers.
The Bengals might have their win, for example, in that. By the time they get to week 16, but I feel like Cincinnati would be the team.
Are the Bengals still winless?
Yes. Yep.
Can we have multiple 0-16 teams this year?
No.
Can you imagine?
No, because Cincinnati
they play each other.
Yeah, they play each other.
Oh, yeah, duh.
unless we get the tank
bowl
tie.
Oh, they can tie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
0-15-1
teams.
Wait. How would that work? Who gets the first overall pick?
I think there would be a tiebreaker. Strength of schedule or something.
Is it a coin toss?
Probably
point differential.
There has been coin tosses before at the combines to decide
picks. Strength of schedule is the second tiebreaker, though. I'm not kidding.
I don't believe that you know that.
803-0550 is the phone number. We'll switch into hockey with Matt Beauvais, WKBW, right after the break here at Sports Talk Saturday. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase. Derek Kramer as well here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Wow, I just really loved how confused our producer Derek Kramer got. As he clearly had never heard that liner for Radio.com Rewind, which is a brand new feature, by the way, in the Radio.com app. The little rewind sound effect there. Derek thought he hit something. Like, he thought the place was burning down. We're all good.
Forgive me.
It was meant to be there.
Forgive me for thinking that I've screwed something up.
Well, no. His hoodie is on fire, so. Right?
Do we have like a show killer sound effect for that? I mean, just adding nothing there.
I thought that would have
just
got
a useless comment.
I thought that would have got Derek. It was geared towards Kramer.
Sports Talk Saturday, Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase here on WGR. Let's switch to the Sabres here. They've got a game tonight. Sabres after dark for the last time in a while. Sabres at Sharks, and Matt Beauvais joins us now on the West Hur Hotline. Matt's on his way to the Buffalo Buttes opener. Matt, what's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, guys? Hey, is that the Mighty Mighty Bosstones? Was that who was playing?
That was, I think, the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Derek, right?
Yep,
that was.
Okay, as it was playing, I was sitting
there
thinking
in my head. Wait, no, it was not. No, I have to correct myself. That was Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Oh, okay.
I actually thought it was too, though.
Pro skater.
I thought it was too, though. It sounded like the Bosstones.
Okay, well, I was close.
So, Matt, I know you're the big Sabres After Dark guy. Is it a sad day for you that this is the final day of Sabres After Dark for a while here?
No, this will be a tough one, actually, just because I got to go. I'm going to be at the Bills game in the morning. So
right.
I'm already thinking about how little, because I usually get to the stadium around like 8 or 9. So tomorrow is going to be a struggle because I have to. I can't not watch the game. I'll kind of lose my mind if I'm not watching the game. Mm. So I'll stay up. I'll watch the game. And then I'll probably get 5 hours of sleep, and then I'll head out to the stadium.
All right, cool. I'll be at the stadium too, so maybe I'll see you there tomorrow. The Sabres for the last couple of games, in my opinion, have kind of, I don't want to say regressed, but kind of reverted back to a lot of tendencies that I think they had last season during that 10-game win streak. I think that Kings game especially. I mean, I just don't think that the 3-goal lead was nice, and it looked great on paper, but a Kings team that is not all that great, you get run over by them for pretty much the last two periods. Not like, what about you? Do you think that that's, to me, that's not a sustainable way that they can be playing?
No, it's not. And the word that you said you wouldn't use, regressed, is probably the word that I would use. It is promising that they were able to go on the road and win on a back-to-back. So credit where credit's due, but they probably, there's a lot of scenarios where they lose that game. After the first 10 minutes of the game, once again, they just kind of got dominated. And that was the same thing that happened the night before. So, yeah, I do think that this is not sustainable hockey. But at the same time, on the second night of a back-to-back, obviously you'd rather get the win than the loss. So at least you're getting out with something. As for tonight, if you can go in there and you can in overtime, and who knows, maybe you lose in a shootout or an overtime or whatever it is. If you can go back to Buffalo with 3 out of possible 6, I think you would probably be pretty happy with the road trip in general, just because they are three good teams. It's two good teams and a team that you're supposed to beat, and on a night where you didn't even play that well, you still managed to beat them.
Yep. The defense core is kind of interesting. Let's go through some individuals here. The ice time is something I've been monitoring game in and game out, especially since Dahlin started playing the year, averaging more like 18 minutes a night. That's starting to climb. He's at 19 now. Here we go. We're back to where we've always been. Ristolainen is the minute eater on the team. He's not been traded.
Yeah.
Now, I think that he's played better this year. Not like, you know, it hasn't been a complete turnaround, but I do think he's looked better. That pass he makes to Mittelstadt in the Kings game, I'm not sure he ever makes that pass before Ralph Kruger gets here as coach. Like 99 times out of 100, I think he's just firing that on the net. What's your impression, Ben, of Ristolainen, and are we still in the camp that he should be playing less than the 24 minutes he's playing right now?
Yeah, I think he should be playing less. I don't think it should be, like, drastically less. I'm not talking about, like, 17 or 18 minutes a night, but I think he should probably be around, like, 20, 21 minutes a night. He was really solid in the first couple games of the year. I was like, wow, this is really, really impressive. Maybe Kruger has found something that the other coaches weren't able to find. And then eventually he kind of came back down to, you know, normal. And that's still a pretty good player. I don't think he should be leading the Sabres in ice time. And a lot of that has to do with Jake McCabe as well. I thought McCabe played really solid the first couple games and then kind of took a step back, just like Ristolainen. And so that probably has affected him a little bit. But at the same time, I don't really know of who else would be logging those minutes, because we never want to say bad things about Rasmus Dahlin just because he is so talented and he is so good. But he struggled for a couple games there, especially in his defensive zone. Now, he does the things that make you realize every game, like, wow, this is the Sabres' best defenseman, and he is the face of the franchise for a long time. The pass he made to Mittelstadt just on the breakout that led to that first goal, or the second goal, rather, that's such a quality pass that probably no other guy on the team can make. So I think there probably needs to be a healthy balance. I would like Rasmus Dahlin to eventually become the player who's getting the most ice time for the Sabres, probably in a few weeks or so. But for the next little bit, as long as they start to even out, I think Ristolainen should still be able to log some minutes. He should still be able to play some of those dirty minutes on the power, or excuse me, on the penalty kill. But no, I think he's doing okay, but that ice time should probably come down a bit.
The blue line is just going to be so crowded. There are guys that are going to start coming back from injury here. Their top six, I think, has played pretty well so far this year. I'm having trouble thinking about, hey, when Montour comes back, if they want to get Pilot in the lineup at some point, he had his first game back yesterday in Rochester, returning from shoulder surgery. If they want to get either Pilot back in their lineup, or when they do want to, I would assume they want to get Montour back in. When that happens, like at this point, like who's the guy you take out? Like I'm struggling to even pick out a name. I would have maybe said, like fans' popular opinion might have been Scandella, but even like Scandella's had a pretty good start to the season here.
I think you take out whoever you can move, because I don't think any of the six guys who have played deserve to be sat down. This is a good problem to have, mind you, but if there is a team out there who is looking for a defenseman and Jason Botterill can turn that defenseman into a player who can play on the third line, maybe even on the second line if it's a higher-end defenseman, then I think that's what they need to explore, just because it's not fair to sit any of these guys down, and none of them deserve it. And you really can't break up the pairs the way they've been set up, just because I think that might kind of throw a ripple into everything. Like, I wouldn't sit down Scandella because I thought he's played pretty well, and Joki Haru's been great, and those two together have worked really, really well. You're definitely not sitting down Dahlin, obviously. You're not sitting down Colin Miller, and then you can't sit down either of the other guys. I think the thing that I would immediately go to is, if there's an offer out there for Rasmus Ristolainen, and it's a substantial offer, I would look at pulling the trigger on that still, even though I think he's played pretty well, because Montour can slide into that role. I know every team wants defensive depth, but even if you move Ristolainen, you still have Gilmore, who they're very high on, you have Pilot, you have Borgen, and you have Casey Nelson. Casey Nelson has proven that he can play at least a decent amount of minutes in the NHL. So if you can turn one of those guys into somebody who can help you up front, like, I know Sobotka is the other guy that fans love to pick on, and he's been okay to start the year, but you could definitely improve there. And if you could somehow get his replacement for a defenseman and use that depth on the blue line, I think that's what you have to do, because they have to do something when Montour comes back, because he's way too talented to sit. But everybody else has played so well that they can't sit either.
Right.
Matt, Ristolainen has been the popular name in trade talks, but you see him consistently leading the defensive core in minutes. How willing do you think the organization would be to move him? Would it take a certain player? You think they would be stingy in an offer to part ways with Ristolainen, or would they maybe be more flexible and willing to take less because they have so many defensemen that they can rely on?
I don't think they would be willing to take less. I think they realize what they have, and I think it would take a really, really big offer for them to move him, especially, and I know this shouldn't matter, but we're all human, so it will. They will always think back to the Ryan O'Reilly trade and how a lot of people said they just completely lost the deal.
Yep.
And you have to think that Jason Botterill in the back of his head is like, okay, I got to get a really solid return for this guy. I can't watch him go to another team and have success. But ultimately, that's what everybody wants in a trade. You want to be able to get something good, and you want to be able for the other team to get something good so you can keep those deals open in the future. So, no, I don't think they would be willing to take less on him. I think to get Ristolainen, it would, at the minimum, probably take a top six forward and a prospect. Maybe there's some draft compensation in there as well. If there's a team who's willing to take that on, then I think you absolutely have to consider making that move. I still think Ristolainen is a good player. I still think that a lot of teams would probably want him, but the asking price should be high just because of his contract and because of his age.
Matt Beauvais on the Wester Hotline here for just a couple more minutes here on WGR. Matt, what do you think is going on with Evan Rodriguez? I just find it very weird that I can kind of see why he might have been in Kruger's doghouse to start the year and been a healthy scratch, because once he got in the lineup, after fans and me included had been kind of clamoring for him to be in the lineup, I mean, he didn't do anything to earn staying in the lineup. But last year, like, he just looked to me to be a completely different player. I don't know if it was the way he was being used or what, but what do you think is going on there with Rodriguez that he's at a point now where, I mean, he's a healthy scratch, and I don't really think anybody is really wondering why?
Well, I've been a Rodriguez truther like yourself for a couple of years now. I think he's a pretty good player, and I think he could probably play on most teams in their bottom six. But the way this roster is constructed, I guess Ralph Kruger saw something before any of us did, especially with those bottom three or those bottom two lines. Like, there's no way they can break up right now the Gergensen's, Larson, Oposo line.
Yep.
They've been solid for all year. As for the third line, maybe Rodriguez could, like, fill in for Jimmy Vesey. He hasn't been incredibly impressive. But like you mentioned, Rodriguez really hasn't been either. And I don't think everybody's usually like, okay, we'll put him on the second line, replace Sobotka. I think the reason Sobotka is on that line, and it bothers me a bit, but I understand, he is the best player defensively on that line. He's usually the guy who's asked to kind of clear the front of the net and to tie people up. Sometimes he's not great at it, but he's better at it than Skinner and Johansson. So I don't think they'd want to put Rodriguez on that line, because then you would kind of be a defensive liability. And when those three aren't playing in the offensive zone, they would kind of get taken advantage of. So I think they're just kind of in a position where they don't really have anywhere for him to go. And he's kind of the perfect guy to be the person who can just fill in whenever he needs to. It's kind of like the defense. It's a good problem to have, that they're finally deep enough that a player that for years has been a decent contributor isn't able to crack the lineup. I'm surprised that it's guys like Jurgensen's and Larson who are getting the minutes instead of him, but they've done a good job this year, so it kind of makes sense.
Matt, staying on that third line, Casey Mittelstadt looked like a completely different player against the Kings, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it was with the return of Connor Sheary. How valuable is Sheary on that line to Casey Mittelstadt? Again, he seemed different to me. I mean, that first game in Pittsburgh and then on Thursday, compared to, you know, when Rodriguez was on that line with him in VC.
Oh, very different, because Sheary does all of the little things that you probably don't see when you're watching the game, but help give space to Mittelstadt up the middle. And also, he gets open, which is an important thing for a center. And Mittelstadt actually played a pretty good game in Anaheim. Not many of his teammates did, but he played an okay game in that one too, so he was trending in the right direction. I think Sherry's very important, and I think if you look at all of the analytics and the fancy stats that people who are way smarter than me know about, Sheary kind of got a little unlucky last year. His shooting percentage was low. He had a lot of high danger chances that he didn't convert on. So I think he could have a solid year for the Sabres this year. I don't think 20 goals is out of the realm of possibility for Sheary. And if he has that success, then Mittelstadt will in turn have success as well. They got to get more out of Jimmy Vesey. Jimmy Vesey, when they brought him in, it was kind of a lottery ticket. You were just hoping that you were going to get the offensive upside that he showed in New York. He hasn't really displayed that yet. Maybe it's just taking time to learn and to, like, buy into the system. Maybe it's because he is being asked to do more. He's also playing on the penalty kill. So, no, I've been impressed with Sheary. I think he's an important piece moving forward, and I think he's kind of in the perfect role. I don't think he's a talented enough player to play on a first line unless, you know, it's with somebody like Sidney Crosby. But I think kind of carrying a third line and being able to provide that secondary scoring suits him well.
All right, Matt, let's wrap on the Bills actually here real quick. You're going to be at the stadium tomorrow, a 17-point favorite, the biggest favorite the Bills have been in 27 years. You think they earned that? Do you think that's – I would assume most people think that's more about the Dolphins than the Bills, but your thoughts on the game tomorrow and that the Bills being a 17-point favorite, which is still pretty incredible to me.
It's crazy because I was out there at the stadium this week for some of the practices, and the question got brought up, do you use – the fact that you were a 17-point underdog last year to Minnesota as any motivation to make sure you don't take this team lightly, considering you just did this exact same upset last year. And Sean thought about it, and he was like, oh, that's a good point. We never take anybody lightly. Every team is talented. You know, the typical cliche answers that you get from coaches. I think it's probably more about the Dolphins, though, just how bad they've been, than it is about the Bills. I think the Dolphins could probably be on the road in a lot of places this week and be pretty hefty underdogs. I don't love that line for the Bills. I think that's kind of too big of a line. When you look at the over-under, Vegas thinks it'll be like a 28-12 game. And I know a lot of Bills fans are like, well, the Bills held the Patriots to only 9 points on offense. How are the Dolphins going to score 12? But, you know, weird things happen. Maybe Josh throws an interception in the Bills' own end of the field and they get some easy points. I don't really know. I think the Bills win tomorrow. I think we all probably think that. But I also would probably take the Dolphins to cover that. 17 is a lot of points. That's a really big margin. And I don't think if we're sitting here on Monday and the Bills win like 24-10, I mean, that's a 14-point win. I don't think anybody's like, man, the Bills should have probably done a better job handling the Dolphins. I don't think any of us would say that. If the Bills win by 14, 15, or 16 points, nobody is going to be complaining about how they did it. So I think the Bills win, but I think the Dolphins cover.
You can follow him on Twitter at Matt_Beauvais. Matt, thanks as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and then enjoy the game tomorrow, too.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks. There's Matt Beauvais on the Wester Hotline. We had some drama in here just a second ago. We've got soccer on, so that wasn't our only soccer coverage earlier in the show. Tottenham and Watford, this was a very weird thing that just happened. So VAR, which is the review system in the Premier League.
I'm so lost at what's happening right now.
Lou's not a big Premier League fan here.
I'm not a big soccer person.
Which I have applauded as, other than tennis, because tennis it's an individual sport. Team sports, the Premier League has far and away, and this is the first year they're doing it, but far and away the best review system. It takes seconds to decide a goal. There are a room of people that quickly decide. They shoot the decision down to the ref. They put it on
the
scoreboard.
Wait, it's not a ref on a little tiny iPod touch that's deciding
the... No, the linesmen don't skate over and watch the play on a Zune. And they can't even see the line because
it's Zune.
Like, right.
Oh,
so,
what a reference.
Who even knows what a Zune is?
Derek probably.
What percentage of the audience knows what a Zune is?
You had to be at least
60%.
Are like 27-year-olds and up probably know what a Zune is, right?
Yeah,
that grew up in like the mid 2000s.
I hate you. But
you're right. Am I spot on though? That you're the exact demographic.
You're the Zune. You're the Zune generation.
I know what it is. I never had one. I just know what it is.
That's good enough. But anyways, so they just showed the play. And they were checking to see if it was a handball. It took seconds. It took like 15, 20 seconds. That was it. And then they had the decision. They put the wrong decision on the scoreboard in the stadium.
That's why I was very lost.
So the ref pointed to the middle, which means goal. But then they said no goal on the scoreboard. All the fans were screaming, no, no, no. And the players started debating. And the ref was like, what do you mean? He's like, you got the goal. And they're like, no, it said no goal. He's like, no, no, it was a goal. So, like, just whoever was the scoreboard operator messed up there. So, it was chaos in this Tottenham-Watford game.
Maybe I should start watching soccer more.
No one knew what happened. It's pretty exciting. This has been such a weird Premier League season. Like, I don't even know. If you're... Ooh, a fight, too.
This is great radio.
I know. It's a really weird Premier League season. You never get fights. You never get upsets, generally. Like, usually the top teams are always going to beat the lesser teams.
So, it's the NBA?
But this year... The complete opposite is happening. Like, the top two, Liverpool and Man City, are doing... Not even Man City, actually. They've lost two terrible games. If you're not a Premier League fan, like, this is a good year to get into it, I think.
I think there's a lot of Premier League people in Buffalo. I mean, Liverpool seems like the squad in the city.
They are the most popular team in the U.S., and it's not even close. The Red Sox and LeBron own them. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
It's a weird combination.
That is a very weird combination.
Boston doesn't like LeBron, but... They're
yeah,
kind of
right. LeBron doesn't like Boston.
803-0550 is the phone number. You mentioned the NBA, by the way. We'll do that for a second at some point today. But I do want to get into Bills and Dolphins, and we'll recap what we just had a conversation with about Matt Beauvais on the Sabres and the blue line. Like, who goes into the lineup or who comes out of the lineup when Montour gets healthy? Because you cannot scratch Brandon Montour. I think he's their best right shot.
I would hope not, considering what you gave up for him. It's not like he was bad last year.
Right. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Sports Talk Saturday with Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR.
The list of defensemen or the number of defensemen the Sabres have looked at out there in terms of moving is bigger now than just number 55.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. Will the Sabres trade a defenseman? It seems like the most logical thing to do. They have guys returning. Lawrence Pilot last night makes his debut for the Amerks, returning from shoulder surgery. He's good enough to be in the NHL. I think it's no doubt that last year he was one of their best six defensemen. But where would you put him in? Where would you slot him in the lineup? Montour, when he comes back. Who comes out?
The thing is, even if you Bogosian move, back, even if you move one, you still have numbers. Not a problem. I don't want to call it a problem, but I mean, Pilot and depth. Montour, you're still scratching somebody like a Scandella if you want Pilot in there, even if you move Ristolainen for a top six forward, like Matt said.
Yeah, and you also have other guys too. Like Matt Bove just mentioned it. Like Casey Nelson's in Rochester. Yeah. He is perfectly capable of playing in the NHL. Will Borgen might be ready to play in the NHL, but he's very far away on the depth chart from getting there. So you have other guys that would supply that depth. It's almost like the Bills running back conversation for me before the season. It's not even that this guy can't help me and can't produce for me, but I have six other guys that can do it. So why do I need him? That's the point. And in this situation, you have at least one guy who they should get some sort of value for in Ristolainen. And maybe they'd get something for Scandella after a hot start of the year for him. Maybe if Bogosian was healthy, they'd get something for him. But most likely, Ristolainen is still the guy that you can move and would get something back for him.
I like what Matt Bove said. Matt Bove joined us last segment, and he was talking about how I asked him, I mean, like, are they – with this problem they have, with the depth, I should say, that they have on defense, it's a great problem that they have not had in a very long time. So if we could tell us from 2 years ago that this was going to be the case, we'd take it. But I asked him, like, are they going to rush a trade? Like, would they be willing to take less value for Ristolainen just so they can get Montour into the lineup, not have to scratch Scandella, get Pilot up here? And he instantly mentioned the Ryan O'Reilly trade and how that's going to be on the minds of Jason Botterill, and why they don't want to just force a trade, because then you have bad value. And I like that mindset, because for me, you shouldn't be looking just to move a guy for the sake of moving them. You got to find the right value for a Ristolainen. And I don't want to just give that guy up for anything, even if they can't, like, to me, even if you can't get a Pilot into the lineup, I'm not taking, you know, just to get him into the lineup, I'm not taking a similar trade for Ristolainen. I would rather then at that point, if I really want to get these guys in, can I move a Scandella for less value? But I'm not rushing a Ristolainen trade, because he carries more value than a rushed trade would probably get you. And you're right. That's probably why they haven't done it yet.
You know, there's now an article on WGR550.com.
Shameless plug.
Five players that could be moved by the Buffalo Sabres, including a name that not many people would suspect would be on there. Mysterious.
Are you not going to tell us?
No. I'm going to let you find out and then yell at me at the break.
All right. And I have an article, too, up with Lawrence Pilot coming back.
How good do you think he is?
Very good.
Like, is he worth?
Very good. So take a break, and I'll tell you how good.
Okay.
Lawrence Pilot back for the Amherst last night. Sabres defenseman. Who comes out? Who gets traded? Because they have, like, a lot of guys still, and people are getting healthy. Sports Talk Saturday with Jody Biasi and Lou DiBiase. We'll be back after this here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.